Welcome to the Enterprise Times podcast. My name's Ian Murphy, and today I'm talking to Calista Redmond from IBM.
Calista Redmond from IBM, and I am the president of the Open Power Foundation and IBM's delegate to the board there, and I also am a vice president of ecosystem development in our systems organization.
You're just finishing up your term as the president of the Open Power Foundation. IBM created Open Power when it wanted to completely open up the code of its PowerEight processor for anyone who wanted to use it. First time we've seen any chip manufacturer do that. What was behind the decision?
So the decision really was not IBM's alone. It came at the consensus and collaboration of ourselves plus a handful of partners. There were five of us to begin with, spanning hardware optimizations such as acceleration with NVIDIA and interconnect with Mellanox, as well as end users themselves like Google and systems providers like Tyann. You know, essentially we got together and understood that the promise of Moore's Law was hitting a plateau and we needed to overcome that. The best way to overcome that is by infusing your system with multiple different optimizations, and the ability to design in a long-term future for that means taking an open approach. And so open source software sort of hitting a stride in mainstream at the enterprise level, it only made sense to us to take the notion and religion of open source software down into the hardware layers.
In the period you've been president, it's grown from 166 members to 270. This is hardware we're talking about, not open source and not software. Not the sort of place you'd expect to see huge numbers of people come in. What's the driver behind that growth?
So the growth in open power spans many constituents. We're really here building a community. These aren't just one-to-one partnerships. We can each go off and do those on our own. But these are sort of that shared long-term view of different stakeholders, ranging from the hardware providers, that could be a system provider, a chip provider, someone with a FPGA card, to specific optimizations like memory or acceleration, to routes to market with integrators and others who want to devise a specific solution that will serve their niche. And that could be a part of the industry or a corner of the geography that they're looking to serve. But further to that, it's important that we also engage the solutions and the workloads that ride on top of that. Without the ability to fine-tune a workload to the specific underlying infrastructure, you're really kind of leaving half the value on the table. We do that, software providers, and then of course there are the end users who are really getting more deeply involved in the infrastructure as well.
One of the interesting things is you've got this ecosystem that's competing with IBM, not just about software products, but as you say, actually at the hardware level. An example of that has been Supermicro. They've been selling power-based machines back into SoftLayer. You know, this is IBM's core cloud company. How difficult is it to find that line between having an ecosystem that competes at one level to an ecosystem that actually is at your face all the time?
It's important to take a perspective and hold close to that perspective that regardless of whose logo goes on a solution, that the important thing for our industry and for our customers is to have choice. And with the challenges that they're facing in their data center, they need that choice. And they need to know that there's an entire community investing in power, not just one single provider. And that provider lock-in is something that our customers want to avoid. That partner lock-in is something that our members want to avoid. Everyone wants to diversify the number of opportunities that they have in front of them to grow their business or to reinvent their business if you're an end user.
At Edge, you announced the 822LC, first time IBM's taken partner technology and embedded it into the chip. NVLink now opens up GPUs. Kappy opens up flash memory. What's the target market for applications for this?
So we're really seeing a lot of traction in two specific areas. First, around cloud and scale-out deployments. You know, early on, it looked like the internet hyperscales were the ones who would have the most interest in sort of designing and deploying their own custom solutions. We're seeing the next wave behind that. It's not just the hyperscales that want to have a custom approach. Other scale-out providers, lower-tier cloud providers, they also want to have that promise as well. And by having a multitude of different providers in this space, it becomes much more readily within their reach. For the second key area is in HPC. Now, HPC has traditionally been very keen to design and develop their own systems and to approach it in a cluster fashion. And that notion is further amplified by having multiple options, you know, all the different memory providers, by having different ways to offload some of the work to acceleration, whether that's through FPGA or through through, you know, NVLink out to GPU. So by having those types of options, we're really attracting a multitude of different end users.
You've announced a bunch of scientific wins today, and they're all very big wins. They're all about exascale computing. And you were talking there about people not wanting lock-in. We've heard over OpenStack in the last 2 days, people like CERN talking about their need for massive amounts of storage. But more importantly, people like the Square Kilometre Array, they're looking for something like half a petaflop of power required to run their systems. They expect to generate 1.3 zettabytes of data every 6 hours. Now you've got Capi, now you've got NVLink built into the chip. How much easier is it for IBM and the power team, as well as the open power partners, to actually begin to address that type of challenge?
I think across the spectrum of participants in open power, IBM being one of them, you can bring thought leadership from across each of those different domains. So how can we best tune a workload to run on those scale-out systems? How can we refine our approach to memory? By bringing all of those thought leaders together in a transparent fashion, we can each help design what and collaborate on what that best innovation is to move forward on. And again, having choice to meet that challenge. And that's a challenge that's not just in HPC. You start to see that same notion start to transcend into analytics, into some of the high-performance computing that others in other parts of industries want to pursue now as well. Because it's not just HPC that's getting, you know, all that additional data, right? I mean, that data is coming every time you click something on your phone. I mean, you're multi-streaming 12 things. You've just clicked off, you know, hundreds of transactions by that alone. And for an organization, whether they're an HPC or a traditional enterprise domain, they need to glean value from all of that data and to transcend the boundaries across different cloud architectures to do so.
It's interesting. We tend to look at scientific projects as pushing the boundary, but actually we're seeing a closing of the gap with big data and large enterprises, as you've just pulled out. One of the announcements today for developers has been bringing Supervessel, that whole accelerator program from China, into Europe. When it launched in China, we very quickly ran out of user logins. So many people wanted in. What level of take-up are you expecting within Europe?
We're expecting similar results in Europe. We're expecting that across the developer community, this is a fantastic resource to kick the tires on multiple types of acceleration, to really understand what type of performance dimensions you could attain on power. It's continuing to be a critical area for us to allow ISVs or developers or systems providers to really start to test their theories and move into, you know, production level type thinking. So we will still, you know, need to manage the traffic coming in to look at what level of resource we have available and make sure that we're managing that effectively. We also have the Supervessel site that's up out of New York to help serve that North American market. But regardless, we do have the capabilities to send some of that traffic to one of those other sites as well. But we are very excited to have that developer cloud available here. The developer community really is at the heart of what Open Power is, as each of our teams has a group of developers who are deeply invested and very passionate about approaching one of the challenges in their data centers with their workloads. Each of them work together, and we started to coalesce that community through hackathons and meetups and developer challenges, and it's been a tremendous response. We were thinking we might get about 200 folks to sign up for our first developer challenge, and it was closer to 400. So we're very encouraged by this. In fact, at our summit this week, we'll be talking about the four winners of that challenge.
And that actually plays then to the whole, how far do you now go in terms of bringing other technology onto the chip? We talked about NVLink coming onto the chip from NVIDIA. With partners doing so much, both on the software and hardware side, how far is IBM prepared to open up that chip and bring other people's technology onto the physical silicon, as opposed to just running it as applications somewhere around?
Well, you know, IBM is taking a unique approach in having, as you look at our Power 9 plans, right, we're looking at not only NVLink and Capi, but also PCIe 4. You know, that's three high-speed interconnects into the chip. And for those technologies or those, you know, optimizations that need some other approach, we're absolutely open to those discussions. But that's not something that, you know, we bake in and look for. It, you know, those are relationships that are cultivated as we approach them. The other interesting thing as we approach Power 9 that you'll see on our roadmap is that we're doing both a scale-up and a scale-out version. So, you know, we're understanding that there are different types of workloads and dimensions that we need to be able to serve for our broader community, not just for power systems coming from IBM.
Are we going to see a low-power version of the chip arrive? Because, you know, sticking it in a server where it's got lots of power is one thing. But a number of these workloads are edge issues. Now, we've got Mellanox using FPGAs at the edge, and we can start to trim out some of that data. We can do data analysis as it arrives into the network. The ability to then push a Power 9 low-power processor much further out. Are we going to see that anytime soon?
We've got a number of ideas and things that we're looking at in the power roadmap, but, you know, I can't speak to the specifics of the level of low power that we're looking at, but we are understanding the different workload types, and we are in constant conversation with others who may be interested in sort of taking that challenge on.
Coming to the end of your year as a president, what stands out for you over the last year?
You know, it's been an incredible journey. I've been part of the Open Power organization inside of IBM since before it was born. You know, when we're still at the whiteboard phase, when we're still, you know, hallucinating whether or not this was a good idea. And it resonated so quickly and so clearly across our partnerships and across our, you know, the sort of those early constituents that it just became the thing that took hold and caught fire for us. It's been a fantastic journey to watch us go from whiteboard to, you know, PowerPoint, sharing that vision through to developing prototypes, you know, kind of a science fair of here's the realm of possibility. And the last year has really been much more about deployments, production, getting products in market, in seller kits to actually take to market and make a difference. And so to watch us transform and move into that next chapter has been very remarkable. To see the level of investment that our partners have put into building solutions on this architecture has been tremendous and has been very validating. It's not just IBM that's out there investing in power. It's a full spectrum of participation.
Is there anything you'd like to have done better or done more of?
Well, I'm not sure that I could have gotten on any more planes, you know? So somehow, you know, more quickly creating and driving the deep and passionate interest across our membership is always number one. And that is, again, starting at not just the executive ranks, but definitely within the developer community as well. So watching and sort of cultivating that community is, I think, what's going to give us lasting purpose. And there are just never enough hours in a day to go across those. But I think that's an area where you'll see the foundation continue to invest going forward.
You're now moving over to IBM Z-Systems. You've had a huge amount of success with partners through the Open Power. What's your role going to be over at Z-Systems? Could we possibly see you take charge of Open Mainframe?
We haven't signed me up for Open Mainframe takeover yet, but yeah, the key thing here is that we're, again, it's about building those shared interests and looking for shared value across, you know, IBM as well as our key partners. As we've watched Z-Systems transform itself to include also Linux One and to see the tremendous amount of growth that we have there, ranging from the thousands of students who sign up for the Master the Mainframe contest through to ISVs who are tuning their apps from both ZOS as well as Linux on Z. To watch that transformation and to understand the importance of it is critical. Just similar to power, it's not something that IBM can do in isolation. It's absolutely critical, especially when you look at the place that Z-Systems sort of sits within the enterprise. That's sort of the keeper of the crown jewels right there. But just like other parts of our industry, they need to go tap into numerous new pools of data. And those pools of data are sitting on clouds, they're sitting on your cell phone, you know, they're sitting all over the place. And to be able to take advantage of and get value from those parts of the paradigm that are different from what just resides within your mainframe, it's very important to sort of take that open, you know, sort of holistic approach together with your partners. And so I think my role is really to help us find new business models and to find new ways of working and building value and collective value with our partners there.
Thank you for talking to us today, and hopefully next year you don't see quite so many airport lounges.
My pleasure. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you.
Thank you.